Test 3, Part 3. You will hear an interview with someone who reviews hotels. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to the text.
I'm talking to Paddy Burt, who has a weekly hotel review column in a national newspaper, and who has just compiled a collection of those reviews for a forthcoming book. Paddy, when you go to a hotel to review it, what's your attitude?
I always have high hopes. Bet this one's going to be good feeling. But you never can tell. Hotels that look so idyllic in one of the guides can be a terrible letdown, which is why readers who say they enjoy the column invariably add, particularly the bad ones. For example, I recently got this letter from a reader who says, "It used to be every other week that you gave some poor hotelier a bashing. Now it's a rare treat to read about one you've been severely critical of, and that's a pity since I love it when you lay into a pretentious but bad one. Of course it's helpful when you recommend a good hotel, but for entertainment's sake, do try to find some awful ones too."
So are you always aiming to find fault? Are you glad when you find something you can be critical of?
I don't have to try. And while I'm always happy to slam into any pretentious hotel that doesn't come up to scratch, it's a different matter when the people are nice and the hotel isn't. I still have to write about it, and sometimes it hurts. Hotel keeping, it has been said, is akin to show business. And in the ones I like best, there is always a leading man or woman who is sometimes so good, I think he or she has missed their true vocation. Such hoteliers usually have a sense of humour. They may not like what I have written about them, but will respond in a good-humoured way. They are professionals. Many of them have become friends.
What kind of hotels do you prefer? Is it possible to generalise about that?
Well, I admit I have a penchant for owner-run hotels. They're more personal than the chains. With a few exceptions, I like the owners of small hotels, which is why I've had such fun researching my book of review pieces that have appeared in the newspaper, calling them if they haven't responded to the questionnaire I sent them, and either telling them who I am, or, if I think they're going to shout at me, pretending to be the assistant I haven't got, Emily. She didn't give us a very good review, did she? Some said. Well, no, but maybe they have since made improvements and would like people to know about them. Thus encouraged, the majority of these hoteliers have entered not just into the book, but into the spirit, and have contributed interesting behind-the-scenes stories.
So some of the hotels you reviewed and wanted to put in the book haven't been included?
That's right. There's one, for example, where the owner said, "I recorded all the calls. After insulting us and lying in her article, there is no way we would help her perpetuate her grievances against the world in a publication." To specify the lies, he pounced on a remark I had made expressing surprise on being served certain vegetables in his restaurant. "She doesn't understand proper food," he said. I was enthusiastic about it, actually, and if he wasn't so disagreeable, I would have liked to include his hotel in the book. On and on he went. "Since her visit, we've noticed that a lot of people read her articles and then cross hotels off their potential list as a result of what she's said. They then go to hotels where she's been fawned over and where they probably won't be fawned over. We've also noticed she prefers staying in hotels that are almost empty because that's when they have time to make a fuss of her." Actually, being fawned over is the last thing that I want.
So your column can provoke quite a reaction then?
Oh yes. In fact, the same owner also said, "After she stayed here, we had four hotels asking for a description. They wanted to know what car she was driving and what credit card she had. Unfortunately, we couldn't give a description because she's fairly nondescript." But the peculiar thing is that when it finally clicked that being in the book wasn't going to cost him a penny, he said he wanted to be included. Maybe it was because he remembered that I had remarked on his resemblance to a much-loved comedian, sadly now dead. I declined his kind offer.
I can see why. Paddy Burt, thanks for talking to me.
That's the end of part 3.